24 hours, but its underlying causes still very much relevant to all of us. They're truly eternal underlying fundamental causes to the rebellion of Korach. So let's begin at the beginning, page 96. This is the beginning of Parshas Korach, and going to read the psukim very carefully to understand what was being said by Korach and what the subtext of Korach's rebellion really was. Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kas ben Levi. Korach took something. Of course, famously, the psukim don't say what he took. V'dasan v'aviram b'nei Eliav. Even though Dasan and Aviram are legends, infamous legends in the Chumash, this is the first time that they appear by name. V'dasan v'aviram b'nei Eliav. V'on ben Pelas b'nei Reuven. So Korach is joined by three other characters, Dasan, Aviram, and On, all from the tribe of Reuven. Vayakumu lifnei Moshe, and they get up against Moshe, Avanashimi b'nei Yisrael, Chamishimu Masayim, and there are 250 men from the Jewish people there with them, Nisi'ei Eda, princes of the congregation, Kiri'ei Mo'ed, those who have been called in the past, Anshe Shem, men of stature, men whose name was known. Vayikalu al Moshe v'al Aaron, and so they congregate al Moshe v'al Aaron, and implies against. They're fighting words. Vayikalu al Moshe v'al Aaron, vayomru alehem rav lachem. Too much for you. Ki chol ha'ida kulam kedoshim, because the entire congregation, the entire nation is holy. Uvisocham Hashem, and does not God dwell in each and every one of them? That was, of course, the eternal vision that was articulated. V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. I will dwell in your midst. Umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. And how dare you elevate yourselves over the kahal Hashem, congregation of the Lord. So what is the essence of Korach's claim? At least that which he says explicitly. Excellent. So, to put it in today's parlance, he's arguing for what they would call a flat system, right? Nothing he says appears to factually be incorrect, right? Ki chol ha'ida kulam kedoshim. We can all sign on the dotted line for that all Jews are holy. Uvisocham Hashem, and that all Jews, right, merit the divine presence. And therefore, Korach says, right, it's not that I'm claiming that I want to be the leader, at least this is the implication, but that all Jews are equal because all Jews are sacred. Kulam kedoshim. Okay. So,
but he's accusing Moshe of doing what actually he was doing.
Okay. So that's what they refer to in psychiatric circles as a projection, right? But that's true. So in other words, he's saying about Madua Tisnasu al Kahal Hashem as if it were Moshe and Aharon's idea.
Well, I mean, they heard about it from Moshe and Aharon, and maybe they're doubting that they were told this by Hashem.
And so this represents a transition, right? Because remember, there's a critical pasuk in the Torah. We actually say it every morning leading up to the Az Yashir. Vayaminu b'Hashem, the Jewish people believed in God, uv'Moshe avdo. That has two meanings. Number one, they believed that Moshe was indeed for real, as they would say today, but also that he was for real in the sense of being avdo. He was the Eved Hashem. They understood that Moshe was acting in accordance with the divine will. And now, at this point, and we're going to discuss a little bit why this is coming up at this juncture in the desert, Korach is calling that relationship into question. Are Moshe and Aaron truly, truly Ovdei Hashem?
Right, because if they believed that this was what God wanted, they wouldn't be rebelling.
Exactly. So what do you think it was that called, the way that Korach formulates it, why is Korach making this argument now? What does he say? I mean, I was just quoting from a pasuk that occurs when, right? Vayaminu v'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo is when? Is at Kriyas Yamsuf.
Right.
So, but now Korach is saying, Ki chol ha'ida kulam kedoshim uv'socham Hashem, once we have, those are code words, right? uvisocham Hashem ve'asuli mikdash v'shachanti besocham. Once we had Matan Torah, once we all got direct contact with Hashem at Har Sinai, so now you're just holding on to power, Moshe and Aaron. Right? Maybe back then you were necessary. Maybe for Yetzias Mitzrayim you were necessary, but now kichol ha'ida kulam kedoshim uvisocham Hashem. Okay, that's the way that he formulates it. Now, whether that's really what's on his mind, I have my doubts. Chazal certainly had their doubts about whether that was what was really motivating Korach. But this is what Korach says explicitly. He's making the argument that the Jewish people are indeed entirely holy, and it's inconceivable that one Jew should be ranked over another Jew. Now, Moshe is going to call that into question, asking Korach to reflect a little bit on his own status as a... You can already see this coming as a Levi, right? Korach, when he gets up every day and he goes to the Mishkan, apparently Korach felt that that was acceptable when he says parked in his reserved parking spot as a Levi. He didn't have a problem with it then, but we're going to get there. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's take a look at the supplement. Chazal appreciated that there was something under the surface here. That Korach was a very sophisticated person. And sophisticated adversaries make very tough adversaries. And we're going to see two sources which speak to this point. The Medrash Tanchuma has the following contribution. Vayikach Korach, alma nechlak. What was the proximal cause of his dispute? Al Elitzafan ben Achi Abib. He had a first cousin named Elitzafan. The Medrash will explain. There were three Levite families. Levi had three sons, Gershon, Kahas, and Merari. Kahas was reserved for doing the most sacred work in the Mishkan of all the Levite families. And so, who was going to be the head of the family of Kahas? So, the Medrash explains. Shenemar ben Asi ve'sav l'mishpachos Akasi, Elitzafan ben Uziel. Elitzafan ben Uziel, who was Korach's first cousin, was chosen. Amar Korach. Korach had the following observation. Arba'im achim hayu Ache Abam. My father was one of four. Again, Kahas was Korach's grandfather. Kahas had four sons. Okay, so Korach's father and Korach's three uncles. And they were Amram. We know Amram because Amram's the father of Moshe and Aaron. Okay. Yitzhar, who was Korach's father. Chevron and Uziel. Okay, so the second of the four sons is Korach's father. So he says, look, Moshe and Aaron already got theirs. That's okay. But who should be the Nasi for the B'nai Kahas? That should be me, because I'm the oldest son of Yitzhar. Yitzhar is the next son in line. By all rights, that should be my privilege. Okay. Amram HaBechor, when it comes to Amram, who was Kahas' oldest, Zacha Aaron b'no Lakuna Gedola, Moshe Achiv L'malchus, Aaron and Moshe got theirs. Umi Ro'oi Litol Hashnia. Lo Hasheni, should it not be the second son, meaning my father, Yitzhar? Uvenei Kas, Amram v'Yitzhar. Ani b'no shel Yitzhar. I am Yitzhar's son. Hayisi roi lios nasi shel mishpachti. And what happened? V'u asa b'no shel Uziel, the youngest of the four brothers, right? Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, Uziel. Uziel was the youngest, and his son was appointed the nasi. My first cousin usurped my position. Katan shall ache abba yehe gadol alai hareyani cholek umevatel kol dvarav kol masha asa lefikach haisa machlokes. So, what is the claim of the Medrash Tanchuma? That Korach's actual motivation is radically different than his stated motivation. His stated motivation is it's absolutely unbearable. Inconceivable that one Jew should be elevated over another Jew. Ki chol ha'ida kulam kedoshim uvisocham Hashem. But what is his fundamental motivation, according to Chazal? Right? Not that he has a problem with the concept of leadership in its own right, but that he has a problem with the idea that the leader is not him. So now, let's think about Korach as a sophisticated person. So you have two choices. If you want to recruit people to your cause, and your cause is going to try to be to depose the current leadership. That was Korach saying, to depose Moshe and Aaron. So, I want to give you two marketing strategies. Marketing strategy number one is to say, the truth is that I'm annoyed that I wasn't chosen for a position of leadership. So, I would like to get the current leadership deposed. That's choice number one for marketing. Or go and tell people, you know, all of you guys are really wonderful. You're holy. Kol ha'ida kulam kedoshim. Every one of you is a star. Uvesocham Hashem. And Hashem is within each and every one of you. You're the Kahal Hashem. How can those guys, in this Mishkan era, in this post-Matan Torah era, where we know that Hashem has a direct relationship with each of us, how can those guys be over you? Now, which strategy do you think is going to be more appealing? So Korach took the second one. And what's interesting about this is which tribe gravitated towards him? Which tribe did this resonate? Reuven. Why do you think that Reuven? Now, of course, we know that they were in proximity to each other. They were closest in the camp to where Korach and his family lived on the southern side of the Mishkan. But who was Reuven? Reuven was the Bechor. And does Reuven get to be the Bechor?
No.
So they have their axe to grind also, don't they? So it's not a surprise that it should resonate with the B'nai Reuven. Because Korach's message is very well understood by them. Right? Somehow, they're able to read in between the lines also. And they understand that he's not the world's first socialist or the world's first communist. That's what he claims to be, right? Everybody's equal, so how can it be? Right? But in fact, what he really is talking about is personal grievances. Now, this is very, very important because, again, he's sophisticated. A sophisticated person thinks about how they can best get what they want in the end, even if they have to formulate things a little differently, or very differently, as the case might be. And that's, to my mind, anyway, what Vayikach Korach is all about. Vayikach Korach, we're not told what the direct object of it. And Korach took, we're not told what he took. But to me, that's the Vayikach Korach. He schemed. He manipulated. He had his own reasons, but he thought about how he was going to do it, and he set about that process. So that's a very important perspective of Chazal. Now let's take a look at the next Medrash Tanchuma, which Rav Tursky, it's just a beautiful, in a footnote, really brings this Medrash to life. So, Vayikach Korach. The Medrash takes Korach's claim as formulated in the Torah and adds some very important depth to it. Vayikach Korach, Medrash Tanchuma says, Maksiv l'mala min ha'inyin. What happened just before this? Dabrel ben Esav, Amartalein v'asulham tzitzis. Right, the last chapter, the last parshia in Parsha Shlach is the Parsha of Tzitzis. Okay. Amar lo Korach l'Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach said to Moshe, Moshe, let me ask you the following shaila. So Moshe says, sure. Talis shekula tcheles. Korach says, if you have a talis, right, which normally gets tzitzis, which is entirely composed of tcheles, mahu shetehei p'tura mina tzitzis. Does it require another tcheles string? I mean, the whole thing is tcheles. If the whole point of tcheles, as the Gemara Menachos says, is supposed to make you think ultimately of, right, the heavens, and the heavens make you think of God's majesty. So once the entire garment is tcheles, is it really going to need another string? So Amar lo Moshe, Moshe said, yes, chayevis p'tzitzis. Yes, it requires tzitzis, it requires a tcheles string. So Amar lo Korach, talis shakula tcheles ena poteres atzma, ve'arba chutin potrinosa? Korach said, what kind of strange answer is that? You're telling me that it's not enough, that the whole beged, the entire garment is tcheles, you need four little tcheles strings in each corner? Second, Korach asks the next question. Bayis shemalei svarim. You have a house that's filled with Sifrei Torah. There is Sifrei Torah all over the house. Ma'u sheyehei pater mina mezuzah. So does it really need a mezuzah? So Moshe says, Amar lo chai b'mezuzah. Yes. So Amar lo kol ha'Torah kula reish ayin hei parshios yeshba. There are 275 chapters in the Torah, in terms of you add up the way that it's written in the actual Sefer Torah. Ve'enon potros es abayis. And you're telling me that those aren't going to relieve the house of the obligation of having a mezuzah. Ushtei parshios shebe mezuzah potros es abayis. And those two little shema v'hayayim shemo, which is written inside a mezuzah, that's going to do the trick, and 1,000 Sifrei Torah won't. So Amar lo, dvarim elu lo nitztaves aleihem. You're making this stuff up. Ela milibcha tabodam. You're imagining these things. Hadau dechse vayikach Korach. So where did the Medrash come from? Well, what's in the Medrash is asking these by putting this whole interesting dialogue. But what's this medrash is adding color to which line that Korach said. Korach said, "Ki chol ha'ida kulam kedoshim." If everybody is holy, if the entire garment is tcheles, if the whole house is filled with Sifrei Torah, so to speak, so why do you need one? Why do you need one little tcheles string? Why do you need one little mezuzah? The whole people are holy.
Why do we need one little leader?
Exactly. So this medrash is simply extrapolating out what's said very tersely in the Chumash. But you see that there are two different examples. So Rabbi Tursky pointed out was you need both of these examples. One of them is for Moshe, one of them is for Aaron. The one about mezuzahs and the Sifrei Torah, that's an attack on Moshe as the teacher of Torah. In other words, if the entire Jewish people have access to Torah, why do I need Moshe, the little mezuzah? I have a house that's filled with Sifrei Torah. I have the whole Jewish people. Why do we need Moshe to be the one who's going to interpret Torah for us? And the tcheles, that's an attack on Aharon. The Kohen Gadol wore in his begadim special garments of tcheles. So if we're all holy, why do I need a special Kohen Gadol to go and offer my korbanos for me? So this was an assault on Moshe and Aharon. Okay, but it was couched in a very sophisticated way. Very intelligent. Very deceptive. So now let's proceed a little bit in the Psukim, and we'll see how Moshe is able to put his finger exactly on what the issue for Korach is. And then we're going to take a look at another incident in Tanakh, towards the very beginning of Tanakh, actually, which Rabbi Tursky pointed out, this story of Korach is really building off of. So what's Moshe's reaction? We're on page 96, this is the fourth pasuk. Vayishma Moshe, vayipol al panav. Moshe heard and he just falls on his face. Vayidabir al Korach v'al kol adaso lemor. So he spoke to Korach and his entire congregation and he said, Boker in the morning, v'yoda Hashem es asher lo, v'es hakadosh v'ikriv elav. God will choose. V'es asher yivchar bo, yakriv elav. And the one who God chooses, he will bring close to him. So what's Moshe's response? Moshe is very, very, very incisive here, right? Moshe doesn't say, okay, fine, I'm going to tell you the way it is. He's already making which point? That the leadership structure was not his idea. Right? That was Korach's accusation. Why do you exalt yourselves? So Hashem says, Moshe says, I'm going to let God speak for himself. Doesn't have anything to do with me. Doesn't have anything to do with Aaron. This is God's choice. So let's let God speak for you. Claim to know what God wants. You claim to speak in the name of God. You say, this entire people is the people of God. How dare you lord yourselves above them? So Moshe said, no, okay, let's let God speak for himself. We'll know tomorrow. Okay? And Moshe says, you prepare the Ketores, this and that. We're going to skip over the Ketores for now, even though it's an important point. Skip ahead to Pasuk Ches. Vayomer Moshe al Korach Shimuna b'nei Levi. Moshe tries to reconcile with them and just tries to point out to Korach how hypocritical, how paradoxical his point really is. Hama'at mikem ki yivdil Elokei Yisrael eschem mi'adas Yisrael lakriv eschem elav. Is it not enough for you that you've already been singled out as Levi'im? La'avodes avodas mishkan Hashem v'lamod lifnei ayda l'sharsam. To stand and to work in the Mishkan. You're a Levi. Korach, every morning you park your car in the reserved parking slot for Levis. So, you get up every morning, go to the Mishkan, that's what you do. It hasn't bothered you up until now. So you seem to accept the concept that there is such a thing as leadership, there is such a thing as roles which are ordained by God to be leadership positions. Vayakrevoscha, Hashem has brought you close to him. Ves kolachecha b'nei Levi itach, uvikashtem gam kihuna. And now, what you're really asking, Korach, is you want to be the leader. You want to be the Kohen Gadol. In other words, Moshe puts his finger right on the pulse of Korach's argument. He says, if you were really bothered by this idea that any one Jew should be elevated over another Jew, you would have turned a finger at yourself before you turned the finger at me and my brother Aaron. You would have said, how can there be such a thing as a Levi? You didn't do that. Apparently you're okay with this idea of stratification, but what you're not okay with is me and my brother Aaron. So this is about you. It's not about ki kol ha'edah kulam kedoshim. Moshe cuts right to the heart, as Chazal saw it, of the argument. Yeah, Arthur.
But the Pekin and the Levium were below the Talmudim.
Correct. But Korach's argument was that there can be no hierarchy whatsoever. And Moshe's turning that on him and saying, so I don't understand. Why do you have a complaint against me and Aaron? Why don't you have a problem? Let's start at home. Let's, right? If it's going to be flat, it's got to really be flat. So clearly Moshe is saying, that doesn't appear to be what's bothering you. What's bothering you is the idea that you're not at the very top. That's exactly what Arthur is pointing out. And that's exactly what Moshe said.
As before.
Correct. Correct. Lachain, and then Moshe just brings it home now. If you read the pasuk carefully, you see how Moshe just put his finger right on the issue. Lachain, he says, therefore, ata v'chol adascha, you and your entire group, do you know what you are? You claim to be against me and Aaron. That's not what you are. Hano adim al Hashem. Who have you really congregated against? God. Because these choices are God's choices. Okay. The Aharon Mahu ki talinu alav. Right. This has nothing to do with Aaron. Aaron is merely a shaliach. He's a messenger. Now, of course we know that Moshe gives a sign to the people and he says, you know, ultimately that next day when they have their test of the Ketores and so on, Moshe says, okay, Korach and I are making irreconcilable claims. What I'm saying is that God chose me to be the leader of the Jewish people. He chose my brother to be the Kohen Gadol. Korach is saying is that we're violating the will of God by lording ourselves over the people. So how are we going to know who's right? Here's how we're going to know. If they all die, they're right. Yeah. If they all die, they're right. If they all die, I'm just a liar. But if they all die in a very special way, then I'm right. And what's that special way, he says? Ufatzta ha'adama espiha. The earth will open up and swallow them. In other words, if they die by lightning, if they die in any other way, I'm wrong.
But even
what's that?
Either way they're dead.
Yeah, that's right. But you see, Moshe really put the burden of proof very high on himself, right? So he says, you'll see, if they die, but it's not in this unusual way, lo Hashem shlachani.
It's like the proof for a prophet. I mean, it can't be something that might happen anyway.
Right. So this is Moshe setting the bar very, very high. But also, as Rabbi Tversky noted, by using this expression that only appears one other time in the Torah, we've been given a key to understand the entire section. What's the only other time in the Torah that we use the expression Hadama asher patzta es piha, the earth which opened up its mouth? Really want to understand Korach, you just need to know pretty much that phrase, and that will give you the whole key. It takes us all the way back to Cain and Hevel. So now let's take a look at a number of the sources that we have here on the second page. The Psikta Zutrasa makes this point very explicitly. It says, Amar Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe said before Hashem, this is the third source, Im Bria, Osa HaBria Asher Amarta Asher Lo Nivru Ata Yivra Hashem, Upatzta HaDama Aspia, the earth will open up its mouth, Kederech Shepatzta Bimei Kayin VeHevel. We've got to go back to the story of Cain and Hevel. Those are the only two times in the entire Torah that this expression appears, Adama Asher Patzta Aspia, the earth which opened up its mouth. So what does Cain and Hevel have to do with Korach? Everything. Everything. So let's read the story of Cain and Hevel again. You have Adam and you have Chava. And they have two wonderful boys, Cain and Hevel. And they're different, and it's wonderful, and Cain's a farmer, and Hevel's a shepherd, and it's nice to see young men growing up, doing different things, doing things that make them happy. Vayihi miketz yamim, vayavei Cain mipri adama mincha laHashem. And Cain has a wonderful idea. He brings a mincha to Hashem. He wants to serve his creator. This was at a point in human history where it was clear to everybody that there was a God and that God should be worshipped. And Cain takes a leadership role in that regard. V'hevel, hevi gamhu mi becharos tzono meichel vehen. It says that Hevel brought a wonderful offering. He brought the finest of his flock. Independently, v'hevel hevi gamhu. Vayisha Hashem el Hevel ven l'minichaso. And Hashem answered to Hevel and to his offering. In other words, Hevel's korban was accepted. The El Kayin vel minchaso lo sha'a, but Kayin and his offering were not accepted. Vayichar l'Kayin ma'od, vayiplu panav. So Kayin became very despondent, he became very depressed. Right? And God owes him an explanation, right? Hevel offered a korban and Kayin offered a korban, and even if it sounds from the psukim, as Chazal note, that Hevel's korban was of a little bit of a higher quality, nonetheless, right, God could certainly accept both, right? If somebody comes to you with a gift, and somebody comes to you with a nicer gift, doesn't mean, right? No child at a birthday party only ever took the best birthday present, right? We'll take all gifts. Yeah, right. Very good. So Rabbi Tversky made that connection as well as this Vayiplu Panav, as well as the connection of Mincha. Because it says here, Mincha La Hashem, and it says in the context of Korach, if we just take a look there quickly in the Psukim, it says, Moshe says about to Hashem, Al Tefen Al Mincha Sam. It's the only time in the Torah, I believe, when the Torah is described as a Mincha. So Rabbi Tversky also made that connection. There are many, many, many textual connections here. But the most obvious is Adama Asher Patz Tespia. Very good, Brian. So God owes Kayin an explanation, and God gives Kayin an explanation. Vayomer Hashem al Kayin, lama charalach v'lama naflu fanecha. He says, why are you so upset? Don't be depressed. Okay, it didn't go your way this time, but you know, that's okay. Halo im teitiv, if you improve, se'es, you will manage, you will succeed. You can do this. Don't be depressed. If I didn't accept your korban, it's because you can do better. Whether you can do a better korban, whether it's that you can do better in general, there was something going on between Hashem and Kayin was being told, look inside. Improve. It's okay. You don't have to get it all right away. Don't be depressed. Get up tomorrow and try to do a little bit better. Halo im teitiv, se'es v'im lo teitiv. But if you don't take that approach, if you don't try and improve, La peta chatat rovetz. You'll find that going down that path will lead you to the path of sin. Ve'ilecha teshuka. So you'll always struggle with sin. Ve'atatim sholbo. But if you set your mind to it, you can rule over. Now, so Kayin was being directed internally. And here we have Kayin's actual reaction. So vayomer Kayin el hevel achiv. Vayibo samba sadeh vayakum Kayin el hevel achiv vayargeu. And Kayin said to his brother Hevel, and it was when they were in the field, when Kayin got up against his brother and he killed him. Let's make a couple points about this pasuk. First of all, let's ask a question. What's strange about this pasuk? What is left unanswered for us? Excellent, Pauline. Vayomer Kayin al Havachi, what did he say to him? Different theories in Chazal. So what do we know? What did Hashem tell Kayin to do? Look inside, improve. The answer to your problem is not with Hevel. You're so depressed because Hevel got something that you didn't. Stop looking to your left, stop looking to your right, stop looking at this one and that one, and this one is going to be your problems. It's between you and me. If you want me to accept your korban, you have to improve. Vayomer Kayin al Hevel Achiv, I don't think we're told what he said. I think the reason is because I think what those four words mean, Vayomer Kayin al Hevel, Kayin, instead of looking inside, projected it onto Hevel. He said that everything that's been set up until now, I can solve my problem if I just knock off Hevel. He's the source of my problem, because Hevel's korban has nothing to do with Kayin's korban. That's between Hevel and Hashem. But Kayin, instead of looking inside as he was told to do, tries to solve his problem by looking at the guy who has what he wants, right? Because what he wants is for Hashem to accept his korban. Well, Hevel has that. So he's jealous. So instead of actually working on himself and being the best version of Kayin he could be, right, he's going to solve his problem by killing Hevel. Is that going to get God to accept his korban? Is that going to make him a better person? Is that going to do anything? No. But this is the way human nature works. Right? When we don't get what we want, right, we become very angry at the person who gets what we want, right? Could be in a romantic setting, right? That's every love triangle that was ever written in all the history of literature and drama is about this point. Right? What is, right, let's say there are two guys and a woman. What does guy number two have to do with guy number one? Nothing, except that he got what guy number one wanted, or vice versa. Or girl, you can reverse men and women. It doesn't make a difference. Right? So now guy number one doesn't like guy number two. Right, more often than not, it doesn't have something to do with guy number two. It has to do with something between guy number one and the girl. But he's going to dislike guy number two anyway, which is irrational. But that's the point. Instead of looking inside, life's problems are solved by putting them on somebody else. That's vayomer kain al hevel achiv. It doesn't matter what he said. The point is that he projected it outwards instead of looking inwards. So anyway, vayomer Hashem el kain. So Hashem says to kain, ei hevel achicha. Where is Hevel your brother? So Vayomer, and he says, Lo Yadati, Hashomer Achi Anochi. Now this is so ironic, because what does he say? You're asking me about my brother? Well, I'm not responsible for my brother. It's not my job to look over my shoulder, this way or that way. He says, oh yeah, really, Kayan? You're not looking over your shoulder? Now where was that 5 minutes ago, not looking over your shoulder, being only concerned with what's going on with Kayan? Halavai, you were only concerned about Kayan 5 minutes ago, before you killed him. Apparently you are concerned what's going on with Hevel, your brother. It's just not to your liking. So Vayomer Me'asisa, what have you done? Kol Dmei Achicha Tzoakim Elai Min Ha'adama, Ata Arur Ata Min Ha'adama, Asher Patzta Es Piha. The earth which opened up its mouth, Lakacha says to Dmei Achicha Mi'adecha, to take the blood of your brother from your hand. And so the Torah points us in the story of Korach, the story of Kain, to say that was exactly Korach's pathology. Korach was frustrated. He had his frustrations. And instead of looking inside and asking himself, why is it so important, Korach? If you're going to be honest with you, why is it so important for you to get recognition? What are you feeling unhappy about that you need to be the leader? Right? Instead, right, he attacked Moshe and Aaron. Instead, he pulled the Kayan and projected everything outwards to Hevel. So Moshe points everybody back towards Kayan and Hevel, and he says, you know how this story is going to end? The same way that the story of Kayan and Hevel ended, but this time with the opposite result. This time, the party who's the jealous one is going to go into the ground. The point is that, again, even though the rebellion was, in terms of politics, it's not so important to read, you know, in the history of political science, Korach's rebellion will probably not get included. It lasted for less than 24 hours. It wasn't a major historical movement. But morally, theologically, it's crucial, because it speaks to the most fundamental of emotions, jealousy. What happens when we get jealous? If we can or cannot admit it to ourselves. So I don't know what Korach really, by the end, I don't know whether Korach even believed what he was saying. When Korach said, Ki chol eda kulam kadoshim, maybe he even convinced himself that that's what he really thought. That he lost touch with the fact that what it was really about was his own Bikashtem gam kahuna. Yeah, Arthur.
I see a major difference between Kayan and
Korach. Sure, go ahead.
Kayan, from those days, had a direct relationship with Hashem.
Well, he did.
God only spoke to Moshe. I mean, but it seems that Kayan and Adam, there was a relationship,
right,
that didn't exist to him.
Yeah, no, they were the only ones, right? Moshe and Aaron had, and Miriam. Miriam was also Nevi'ah.
God really never spoke to anyone.
Right, on the individual level. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam,
right,
appear to be the Nevi'im of that generation,
right,
but nonetheless, he still has a relationship. The problem was is that he didn't value that relationship, and that's what we're going
to
get to. He didn't have prophecy. Right. Oh yeah. That would be true. But I think the paradigm of jealousy still maintains. Right. 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 100%. So this is exactly what the Gemara in Sota makes this point. It's a very interesting Gemara. Let's take a look at the fifth source. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is talking about the snake. Ani Amarti, I said about the snake, Yehei Melech Al Kol Behema B'chai. Everybody says the lion is the king of the jungle, but the snake was going to be the king of all the animals. V'achshav, and now Arurhu Mikol HaBehema M'chol Chayas HaSada. And now he's the cursed animal. Ani amarti, I said about the snake, yahalich bekomas kufa, he would go upright. Achshav al gechono yilich, he's going to go on his belly. Ani amarti hey ma'achalo ma'achal adam, you'd eat the same things as the same food as people would eat. Achshav afar yochal, now he'll only eat dust. Hu amar, the Nachash said, aharoges adam ve'esas chava, he was jealous of Adam, he wanted to kill Adam and marry Chava. Achshav Eva Ashis Veincho Veinaisha, he's going, God is going to create enmity between the snake and the woman. Uvein Zaracha Uvein Zara. So the Gemara says, Vechein Matzinu Bakayin Vikorach, a couple of other people. Shenasnu Einehim Bimash She'enu Rohoi Lahem, they became infatuated, obsessed with something which really wasn't their role. Mashe Bikshu, what they sought after, Lo nitan lahem, they didn't get. Kain didn't get it. Korach didn't get it. Umasha biyadam, and that which they already had, and that's lumehem, they lost. And this is the curse of jealousy. You can't appreciate that which you already have. Kain had a relationship with Hashem, and Hashem told him, you can improve that relationship. It's up to you. It doesn't have anything to do with heaven. Korach had a relationship with Hashem, an advanced one. He was a chacham, he was charismatic, he was a Levi. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough because somebody had more. And he didn't value internally. He didn't value what he had. He didn't really value himself deep down enough to really invest in that relationship. Instead, he directed his talents and his prodigious talents at that to something that was totally external and fundamentally irrelevant to himself. Something that was between Moshe and Aaron and Hashem. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos has a very profound teaching. The end of the fourth parak. This is the sixth source. Rabbi Eliezer Hakaper Omer, Hakina veHataive veHakavod Motzien Es HaAdam Min HaOlam. Rabbi Eliezer Hakaper explained. He said that kina, jealousy, tava, excessive desire, kavod, pursuit of prestige, take a person out of the olam. Which olam? Olam habar, olam hazeh. So Rashi says, quoted by the Tosfos Yom Tov, b'miktas perushe Rashi, hakina, what are we talking about, kina here? Shekine korach b'moshe v'yaron. That korach is the paradigm of kina, of jealousy. The Rambam says, the eighth source, hakina v'ataiva v'avas kavod yotzias ha'adam min ha'olam v'hum afsid, kim eila hamido so achas mehen. If you have these traits, hefseid hadas be'achrech, it totally erodes a person's spiritual character, totally debilitates a person spiritually. Velo yusku lo malos sichlios velo malos midos, and a person will never achieve intellectual quality, and he won't achieve moral quality. And the Meiri spells it out that much further. The Meiri, working off the Rambam, says, "Kol elu v'chayote behen motzina sadam min ha'olam retzo lomar mizeh ha'olam." Not the next world, but kena v'tayve v'kavod motzina sadam min ha'olam hazeh. This world, it destroys the human experience in this world. Shekavanos ha'elu matridin oso me'akvin oso mikinyan malos hamidus malos hasichlios. Who has time to read? Who has time to think? Who has time to introspect and to reflect and to develop oneself when all you can think about is how much it burns you that this one has that? It comes from a deficiency of appreciating self-development, developing one's own relationship with Hashem. Korach had taken all of his time and his energy and invested in being the best version of Korach possible, instead of worrying about what was going on with Moshe and Aaron. If Kayin invested his time in saying, well, what do I need to do to get Hashem to accept my korban, then he could have really been great. Then Korach could have really been great. This problem doesn't go away, because what happens is that if we don't value sufficiently our own relationship with Hashem, we don't think, deep down, we don't really think we have much, then it really does bother us what this one or that one has. But if we would simply value the position that we've been put in, with whatever we've been given, more or less, relative to somebody else, it doesn't matter, because right, it's not a zero-sum game. God is Father to all people in this world. We all have our own relationship. So the question is, how do we spend the limited time that we have here? With kina, tava, and kavod, especially for today's purposes with kina, or thing. It's fundamentally irrelevant to me what superficial station, actual station another person has. Because ultimately, when we go to the heavenly tribunal, we're not asked about that. It's not relevant. It's not what they would call, right, in the secular court, it's not admissible. It's just not relevant. It's not being tried. That's why Korach's rebellion is so important. Because it tells you how even a very, very talented person is at risk for, and especially a talented person is at risk for saying, okay, look, you know, this one superficially or actually seems to have more than me. I can't live with that. It perverts their thinking. The challenge is that everybody develop a sense of value of their own relationship with Hashem. And you know, in davening we say it very well. An area where this is, I think, maybe worse than it is in any other areas when it comes to the study of Torah. Because there's always, literally, an unending amount of Torah to learn, people can go crazy. The more a person values Torah learning, there's always going to be somebody who knows more. There's always going to be more to learn. So you could think about jealousy. You could spend your whole life consumed by jealousy that you want to be the biggest. You want to be the most known. That's not what it's about. That's why we say in davening, "V'tein chelkenu b'toratecha." We pray to Hashem that He should give us our chelak, the one that's meant for us. It doesn't mean a person should be complacent or not work hard. A person should work hard to be themselves, to be the best version of themselves possible. But we're constantly at risk for this. And this is the great trade-off that we have in our faith. Because you have two choices as a religious person. You know, there are those faiths and those traditions that say, well, religion is to be found in isolation. But we don't believe that. We believe in living in a community. But the great danger of a communal setting is that we lose sight of our own individual tafkid, our own individual role, our own individual place. That's sometimes the price that we pay for having the wonderful benefits of a community, namely chesed. So a person always has to be cognizant of what are the benefits that come from communal religious living. You can do so much more chesed that way. But what are the dangers? If you're not aware of the dangers, they can sneak up on you. And the dangers are that you start asking yourself, well, why am I not like this person? Why am I not like this? It just doesn't matter. And it's the saddest thing in the world when a person looks back at the end and says, you know what, I spent my whole life chasing this other person and meant nothing. That's what the Mishnah means when it says "motzi'in es ha'adam mina olam." It totally undermines the person's life. It erodes it from within, and there's nothing left but a hollow, wasted opportunity to develop a relationship with Hashem.